childhood and my growing up and everything, it was kind of like Olympic training of weirdness. So I'm like super professional at weird things.
We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. Today, you are listening to episode number 18, titled Peaks and Valleys. We have a wonderful guest today. Dweeja, also known as House Unseen on Instagram, is joining us today. She's a Midwest transplant who settled into raising kids and chickens out on the farm. Dweeja is a social media hoot, especially with her 80s music quotes and her very precious and healthy preemie. Her sense of humor and realism are refreshing and encouraging. Dweeja, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're super glad that you are here with us, and we're going to talk about some peaks and valleys, but can you first tell us a little bit about your family life, Dweeja?
Sure. Yeah, I have been married for almost 17 years to my husband, who I met at the University of Dallas when I was not a Catholic yet. And we have 7 kids here in our house right now, from aged 16 down to 1. So we have quite the range happening. we got married in Texas. We lived in California, and now we've been here in Michigan for almost 7 years. And we bought a house off the internet for $28,000.
Which, wow.
sometimes you hear someone's on a show or a podcast interview or whatever, and you're like, why are they even like a thing? And the reason I'm a thing is because we did that with the house.
Which is why your Instagram handle
kind of normal. Yeah.
Right. Is House Unseen, because you literally bought it off the internet. Unseen.
Yep. Without, seeing it. And then we drove from California to it.
Wow.
With our 4 kids. We had just 4 at the time.
So, why that location? Is that home base for either one of you?
Well, I am looking forward to asking God about that.
Okay.
Because I don't know. My dad's family, aunts and uncles and cousins, they all live in the Detroit area. And so I lived in Michigan when I was little, but I never considered moving back, ever. I just wasn't on my radar. But we had been trying to leave California for a long time, and it just wasn't working. You know, you feel like you're swimming upstream or wading through molasses or all those other things that you can use to describe when it's not part of God's plan. So it just never happened when we were trying to go back to Texas or whatever. And then one day one of my aunts said, well, what about Michigan? And I said, oh, well, because Michigan sucks or whatever. But then, you know, that's just like one of those little seeds that gets planted. And I just started looking, and I didn't know anything about Michigan outside of Detroit. And I don't know, you know, one thing led to another. And suddenly we realized, like, wow, you can buy a house for less than a minivan? That's crazy. We should do that. Well, right now we are not in the $28,000 house. I don't want anybody to get like delusions here that like you can pay $28,000 and have like a functioning kitchen and a swimming pool. Like, and then you fix it up a little bit and you sell it and then you buy a house that's like a little nicer.
Okay. I was going to say, because you always have some great posts about home improvement. Like, you are the queen of home. Everybody tags Dweeja when they're doing a home improvement, because they're channeling the inner Dweeja Barobia at House Unseen. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I've tagged you in my home improvement projects.
So. Help me. Well, I enjoy it. So it's, you know, sometimes you're doing it because you have to, but you know, you're really in misery the whole time, but I do it because I have to and I like it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a difference there.
Absolutely. Okay, so you said you went to the University of Dallas. Number one, I had no idea about that. So, and you said you weren't Catholic yet.
I'm filled with surprises.
Yeah. I know, right? Well, tell us about this I was not Catholic yet story.
Okay, so I was born and raised. My parents were Hare Krishnas. And so that's why I have an Indian name. Dwija is an Indian name. And so I was raised as a Hare Krishna until, you know, whatever, I was in college. But I went to UD, which is a Catholic school. I don't know, because God is funny or something. This goes under, like, the same category, like, why did you buy a house for $28,000? Like, I want to talk to God about that later. Like, how did you work it? It's so cool. So I went to a Catholic school and met a lot of wonderful people who I'm still friends with. And one of them I married, and he lives with me now. We were on our Rome semester. So UD has its own campus in Rome, and most of the students spend a semester there studying on that campus during their sophomore year. So Tommy and I ended up there at the same time on the Rome campus with just half of our sophomore class. And that's how we got to know each other and started dating. And so we traveled all over Europe together before we got married. And that's, like, the coolest way, I think, to get to know someone. And then we got back to America and we got married.
I think a Hare Krishna raised University of Dallas applicant trumps buying a house for $28,000 on scene.
Well, like, after that first thing happens, like, nothing else is a surprise, right?
Right.
You're like, well, if that could happen, of course you can, you know, X, Y, Z.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah, I was just thinking today that, like, sometimes people feel like they, you know, that there's something missing because they can't accomplish something, or they feel like there's something wrong with them because certain things make them nervous. But I think that, you know, so much of it is what you've been prepared for and what you're used to your whole life. So my childhood and my growing up and everything, it was kind of like Olympic training of weirdness. So I'm like super professional at weird things happening. So it doesn't really, it's not as uncomfortable and disturbing and whatever for me, for weird things to be a part of my life. And so I just want to assure everyone that, you know, if you didn't have like weird thing Olympic training your whole childhood, it's okay for things to feel overwhelming and upsetting that you think, oh, she's handling that. Oh, how can you deal with that? And it's like, well, you know, for 20 years, it was like the weirdest life ever. And so I'm just used to it. It's not like there's something missing in you. There's just something weird about me.
It's not weird at all. I think it's an incredibly cool journey too, but I do have to say, that's a classic line, weird Olympic training.
Yeah, so here we are, just, I don't know, I mean, still it happens, where we say, how did we get, like, how can this be? How is this possible? Everything right around us, you know, this house, these kids, this property, all our friends, this job, even just everything. It was nothing that, like, you could map out. Like, you couldn't write this down and say, hey, that's probably what's going to happen. Because it's so outside of anything that we could have envisioned.
Well, I'm sure with all those kids, there were plenty of people through the years to tell you how that happens, right? I mean, they ask you, don't you know how that happens?
Well, you know.
And, right? I'm sure you got that
so
all
confusing.
The time.
Some people get that question more often than others because maybe they're seem more approachable. And like, I think that maybe when I'm out with my kids, people are afraid to talk to me.
Are you serious?
Man, don't bother that lady. I don't think she's open to my jokes right now.
Megan, did you get that a lot when your kids were growing up?
Yeah. You know, it's funny though, how many people would say things though, like, are they all yours?
It's incredible.
And yeah, that's at the supermarket. I really look at them like, why would I take another person's kids to the supermarket with me?
Right.
Right? Like,
I know.
You're just not thinking So
no one would do that.
No. I actually had somebody say to me, a peer. So it wasn't, she said, they're all yours from the same guy.
That's another funny one. Some people at my husband's work asked him that when they saw his, had just gotten this job and he's like putting up his picture, you know, all proud like or whatever on his desk. And they said that. All from the same woman? Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of question is that?
Exactly.
Like, oh, it's cool. That's cool if you have lots of partners. I mean, I don't know why they're asking that. Like it's more shocking if you just have the one spouse or something. I don't know.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Weird culture.
Yeah, really strange, truly.
So Dweja, I just... If you want to keep talking about this question that I have.
I will talk about anything you like.
Yay. So your conversion to Catholicism, did that happen during the time you were a student or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So going to Rome and being there and meeting my future husband, not meeting, if you're interested, I'll tell you how we met, but that's funny. Getting to know, we already met, getting to know my future husband there in Rome, like in Europe. That was really just like a beautiful environment to start my conversion journey. It also helps that my dad grew up Catholic. His brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, everyone, they were Catholic. My grandmother was Catholic. So, you know, in retrospect, I'm pretty sure I had like 80 people praying for my conversion while I was there. Mm-hmm. But it never occurred to me while it was happening, you know?
Sure.
So, so I started praying the rosary at the end of that semester, but I hadn't converted yet. But then when I got back to UD, I started RCIA there on campus. They have an RCIA program at the school. And so I was going through RCIA while I was a student there and while we were engaged.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question. Were you already planning to get married? And this was also part of the catalyst of thrusting you forward into that RCIA process.
I can't remember the exact timing. I mean, I'd sort of decided to convert prior to us deciding to get married, like being engaged officially. Mm-hmm. But we got engaged like the summer before our junior year. And then I started RCIA my junior year. And so then the year I came into the church was the same year we got married.
Gotcha.
I got lots of sacraments that year. It was very sacrament heavy in the year 2000, guys.
I bet. So, Dweja, I just love how down to earth you are. I've followed you for several years now, but this one particular post really spurred us on to have you share with us on the podcast. And so Megan's going to reference it for our listeners, but then I would love for you to kind of elaborate on the context of the post and maybe some development since then.
Great. Sure, yeah.
Dweja, you said, quote, "I don't really know what to say about this season of life. Multiple teenagers, but no one drives himself anywhere yet. Multiple babies in diapers. Multiple kids not yet past the age of reason. Homeschooling. Animals, gardens, living far enough out that a grocery trip takes a minimum 2 hours, living on a single income with 9 people. I love and want all these things. I don't regret any of them. But it also means that my husband and I sleep on the sectional in the den because we only have 3 bedrooms. It means I'm up at 6:30 with the little ones, and I'm up until 11:30 with the big ones. It means we don't have date nights. We've never gone anywhere alone overnight since we've been married, almost 17 years now. I'm told I should take time for self-care, and I try. I do. But it's not my reality right now to be able to go and do stuff not related to everything up there. And that was a cute little emoji pointing up to the things she lists. I'm only one person, and I've only got these measly 24 hours each day. It doesn't make me sad that I don't prioritize running anymore. It doesn't make me sad that I have no minutes to myself in a day. But it does make me tired sometimes. And that's okay. I'm embracing that. I love my family and I love this life. But if you think that you're doing it wrong because it's hard for you and it seems easy for others, or that you aren't cut out for, fill in the blank, because you can't handle it the way I can, I'm here to tell you that I'm not handling it. God is the only one handling this circus, and I'm just here holding on for dear life, end quote.
I love that.
I do too.
It's just so real. And sometimes it's just not what you hear or see on Instagram or social media.
Yeah, you know, I think that some people, myself included, most people, I think, we want to share the highs. You know, we want to share beauty. We want to make others happy. And usually beautiful, happy, wonderful things are what make other people happy. You know, but there's that other side where sometimes you forget that the person sharing all those wonderful, happy things also has struggles just like you do, or different struggles, but they struggle in the same way that you do. And so, you know, it's not frequent, but I do want to make sure sometimes that everyone knows, like, you know, this is a real life. It's not, you know, if you could only buy a house just like this and have kids just like me, then all your problems would be solved. Because that's not true.
Hey, what I really love, too, is how you wrap up that last line with, you know, God's handling it. Isn't that such a reminder for all of us, right? That especially when, I'm going to kind of use the term pioneer woman, when we do only have a set amount of time in a day, and we do have a lot of lives to manage and to care for. And there's that mentality, like, I just need to get it done. I can just do it all. I can just, you know, fill in the blank, or I can't, right, do it all, or I can't get it all accomplished. But the focus continues to be the I portion of it, you know, that.
Right.
Right. And in some instance, that can also be, a trap that everything does fall on us, right? And it really doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and really the crux of that, if I'm going to be honest, is pride. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like this is all me. I'm doing this. My children, my house, look at what I've accomplished. I mean, but you just have to look at the story and the history of how this all came about to see very, very clearly that I really didn't do this, that, you know, I've been along for the ride for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And it's when that pride gets in the way that it becomes more difficult rather than easier.
That's right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was thinking the same thing and knowing the same thing, that if I'm finding myself in that place, and it can be a positive or a negative, it can be a positive meaning, wow, I accomplished a lot today, right?
Check me out.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or it can be a negative, like, why is everything on my shoulders to do, right? How come it's always
yes.
me? So it's that same point, but that can swing from either end of the pendulum, but at this, but what's swinging it is pride either way.
Yeah.
So it's in that ability to be able to, you know, have gratitude and to thank the Lord for everything, all the good stuff. Thank you, Lord. This is what I'm struggling with. And I shared this with Becky, like, having gratitude for the challenging things that does not come naturally to me. And I really have to try to embrace that. But the reality is, you know, even when things aren't going well, and we can learn to thank the Lord for the challenges, which is hard, invariably in time, we will truly be able to say thank you for the challenges, because then we were able to have hindsight to look and say, oh, thank you for that.
We'll see where that was leading.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, I've been trying to work on that more, since I can't force myself to, you know, you can force yourself to say thank you, but you can't really force yourself to be thankful. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, to feel that. But you can feel truly thankful in retrospect, for the things that were bad but led to something good.
Exactly.
That led to something better. So I've been sort of, as an exercise, trying to work on that. Maybe, okay, so if I focus on being truly thankful for those things, maybe I'll get better at being thankful before I know what it's going to lead to.
Right. No, I think that's a great point. When you say that I can force myself to say thank you for this challenge, but I can't force myself to really feel thankful, I think it's a stage in our journey. Like, seriously, Megan and I are going through the exact same thing. Our spiritual director is telling our separate states, separate everything. They're both telling each of us the same thing about being thankful, thanking God in everything. And I've thanked God for some really crazy things this last week. And I've made a joke. I should make like a, I don't know. I should make some funny song about it, but I won't. But Megan has made even a poem about it, you know, and it's,
it was a limerick, not a poem. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
no, a limerick is a poem. I'm just teasing.
Aren't you excited that I'm homeschooling my children right now and I can't even tell you what a limerick is?
We're okay. Learning together.
Like nobody's business. But anyway, so the journey of being truly thankful is just that. It's a journey. And so the process of submitting, I think it's almost like a laying down of your will to say, thank you, Lord, that my child just puked in my bed. Or thank you, Lord, that I am sick again. You know, yes, I may not truly feel thankful, but it does start to build
a habit of that.
A habit of it, yes, and not automatically going to the, well, this stinks and blah, blah, blah. You know, that gets us nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it gets us somewhere. Sure. It gets us somewhere.
Oh, you're right.
Right? No. And not a good place. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yes. Yeah.
My tagline can often be, seriously, can I not get a break? Right. You know, like, thank you, Lord, for the tree that fell in the neighbor's yard that we have to clean up. You know, those type of things. Like, I'm really, really? Another, you know, another expense or another
a thing.
Another thing. But what does happen is that I'm thinking, you know, it kind of goes one step beyond that. It's like, aren't we really blessed that we have the ability to pay somebody to come and take care of that tree? That's what mm-hmm. I need to focus on, not the seriously, can I get a break? But so yeah, it's just having that conversation to go in the right direction and not end up in, you know, spiritually, I think that's almost what can lead us to spiritual desolation, right? It's like there's those little whispers that come that we buy into and we start having that conversation. Like Chris Stefanik has stated, you know, your mind is like a bad neighborhood. Never go in there alone. Mm-hmm. So true, right? How many times have we started with that tree down and you're like, seriously, I can't get a break. And you just, the conversation goes. And you end up in this place of like, wah, 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 you know, really.
Yeah. Well, a good friend of mine was once talking about something that she heard from a friend of hers. But, you know, isn't that beautiful how the body of Christ works? She was talking about how the phrase open to life doesn't have to just mean open to new life, like babies and so on. It also means you're open to your own life. You're open to the life that God is setting before you, not the life that you envisioned or the life you think would be best or what you planned, but you have to be open to the life that you're given. And so I think about that a lot. When am I open to what this is in front of me, or am I trying to run away from it? And that helps a lot sometimes, you know, in dealing with mm-hmm. everything that goes on in a day-to-day life.
Yeah, definitely. That is beautiful. Well, Dweeja, you shared with us that when you wrote that post, it was a little bit of a valley for you, and you feel like you're moving on from that valley. Would you like to share how the Lord has brought you out of some of that?
Sure, yes. I would love to. Because I think, you know, there's that old phrase, time heals all, you know. And we forget during those valley times how it feels to be up on a peak, you know. It's very easy to forget. And blessedly, it's also easy to forget how it felt when you were in the valley, when you're up high, you know, because you don't need to drag that with you all the time. So, you know, time, sometimes that's all it takes to get out of the place you're in and to somewhere better. Excuse me. So since I wrote that, my eldest daughter got her driver's license. And I only have one baby in diapers now. Instead of two. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction. These things, I still sleep on the sectional. So that's still my reality. But, you know, time is going to heal that as well. And my this week coming up is my birthday. I share my birthday with our second child. And then also our 17-year anniversary. It's also this week coming up. And my husband and I are going to go. And now maybe for some people who are in different stages, this isn't going to feel so like groundbreaking. But he and I are going to go out to dinner. And it's just going to be the two of us.
That's awesome.
And I think that probably hasn't happened in, I'm not kidding, like probably 12 years. He says that we went out once when my two oldest were X and Y years old. And so that would have been like 12 years ago that we went out one time. And then before that would have been, you know, like our wedding. So this is a big deal for us.
It is.
So just like I had my Olympic training in weirdness, so weird things don't bother me. But like, I also don't go out with my husband, unfortunately. So there's good and bad. So I'm really looking forward to it. So that was another element that was in that post. And, you know, maybe there were a bunch of people who read that and started praying like, dear Lord, give that woman a break, why don't you? Or whatever.
That's right.
I mean, it could have happened. And it worked, because I don't feel like it was all that long ago. And it just feels like some of those burdens have already been relieved. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how everything else unfolds. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And just being in anticipation of the good things of the future is so important.
Absolutely. Well, that's so awesome. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, Dweeja, I'm so glad that you are kind of scaling a peak. And that's so refreshing to hear. It's interesting when we've been talking about this and the valleys and peaks, we all experience it. Prior, just before that, we were talking about the focus on I'm accomplishing things or I'm not accomplishing things. Mm-hmm. It's that self-reliance becomes dangerous, right? Instead of God's reliance. I'm speaking to something that's resonating with me, something that I really need to work on. Because of that pride moment, we tend to be very, very self-reliant. And we really need to be God-reliant. And I think that's what you're showing the example of. I mean, from the beginning of this podcast, from a Hare Krishna to a Catholic convert, you know, a Hare Krishna going to the University of Dallas, right? That there is so much of God's reliance that I see in that. The house, the kids, all of that. So thanks for inspiring our listeners and me, for sure, to be less self-reliant and more reliant on God during those valleys as well as the peaks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. I it's not me, so I don't know what else to I don't know how to say it. Because, you know, really it's more that God is using me, you know. He always say that he can use anything. And I always have this image of like someone tearing a woven fabric, and God's like trying to put the threads back together to make it whole. You know, people who are using their free will to go against God's will. So he's constantly trying to repair the damage, not just made by you, but made by others who are in relation to you, you know, trying to weave it together. And I love this image of him, you know, maybe when I was younger, of him like, how are we going to work this? Like, okay, well, this is going to be more of a long-term plan. You know, I just love this idea of him mapping it out and me not knowing.
But that's that beauty of having the open heart and the ability to go along for the ride.
I guess so. I mean, he sure has blessed us. That's for sure.
Amen.
That's awesome. Well, Dweeja here at Thriving in the Trenches, we kind of anchor ourselves in these four pillars that the Lord placed on our hearts as we started this venture, this podcast venture. And they are joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship. So which pillar do you find yourself leaning into most in this season of life?
Wow. Well, it's hard to say because I feel like I've been so blessed with all four of those in this season. My friendships, though, I guess I would have to say are the most important thing. But in those friendships, I'm able to experience the others.
I love that in your friendships, you're able to experience God's joy. And especially the laughter.
And the freedom.
Yeah, I feel like, I think you can't really do, I can't really experience those fully on my own.
Right, and they're not isolated in silos, you know, that we're going to go through this one and this one.
Yeah, I feel like they're interconnected. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, Dweeja, so you kind of sparked something that I'm very interested in. You talked about meeting your husband. I'd love to hear that story.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I went to the University of Dallas. I was not Catholic yet. I was a Hare Krishna. I had a nose ring and like corduroy blue bell bottoms and like a Gold's Gym t-shirt that I bought at the Salvation Army on the way to school. So just paint the picture in your mind. Okay. So, and then my husband was like from California. He wore like these very J. Crew clothes. He was the number 5 of 6 kids. He spoke Spanish and English at the same time when growing up, like super faithful family. He played the bagpipes. Okay.
Wow.
So you've got the other picture over here. Like imagine like wool, gray wool dress slacks and like a button up shirt. Later, so you're imagining all these things. Later, it turns out he only owned those things because that's what his mother packed for him.
Oh my
word! He's like, what? What was I even wearing? I don't know. But of course, your perception when you see this person isn't that. Like you think. So that explains it, right? So there we are at the University of Dallas, and we were in the same dorm, boys on the bottom, girls on the top, and he was driving this Hunter Green Carmen Ghia, very California, like super cool car. And he pulled up in the dorm parking lot, and he's walking in, and I, who I'm friends with everyone, P.S., I just want, like, write it down. I said, hey, nice car. And he looked at me and barely gave me even the slightest nod and walked in the building.
Stop it.
Right? Thank you. Right away, I was like, oh, no. That guy, he is stuck up and unfunny. Those are my two, like, worst. Those are the two worst things you can be, guys. Stuck
so
up
funny.
And unfunny. That's what I decided. And, of course, in his mind, I actually was, obnoxious. But not stupid, although he did think I was that. So I'll admit to the being obnoxious, but not to being stupid. But so those were our perceptions of each other, like, from the beginning.
Gosh,
at UD.
That's so
funny. So I just want to remind everyone that we've been married for almost 17 years.
A love story in the making, yeah.
So, you know, like if you're ever wondering how things might work out, the answer is you can't know.
Good.
Sorry. So, well, we ended up in Rome at the same time. they're like a year later. So we've gone through our whole freshman year and the first semester of our sophomore year, really disliking each other. And we went to Rome, and I got sick, and I got behind in my schoolwork at the beginning. And I'm like, okay, I got to buckle down. I got to get this work done. And I went to the, but I didn't stay in my room. No, I had to still go to this like study lounge with everyone. But seriously, I wanted to, you know, focus, of course. And I decided, well, if I sit at that table over there with my friends, I'm not going to get any work done because, hello, have you met me? So I am going to go and sit at that table over there with that dude that hates me. And it's going to be great because we're not going to talk to each other, but I won't be like lonely, and I'm just going to get a bunch of work done. So I went and sat at the table with my future husband. And it turns out we were working on the same project for the same teacher, but we were like conveniently ignoring each other until he said something under his breath about it that was very, very funny. And I found like my whole perception of him crumbling. Like at that moment, I was like, everything I think is a lie.
He's not unfunny.
And therefore, what else am I wrong about? You know?
That's great.
And then that was it. That was literally like from that day on, we were inseparable.
Oh my word. That's hilarious.
It that worked out great.
Yeah. Well, I had to Google Carmen
Gia. G-H. Yeah.
Because I did not know what that was, but yeah, that's a cool looking cars. Car. Oh, yeah. So tell me you have a picture of you two together next to his car or in his car or something.
Oh, we probably don't, because of course this was the days like back in the Stone Age before everyone was just like going around with cameras all the time, right?
So Dweeja and I have a little something in common. We love mowing the lawn and we love plugging into podcasts. So tell me about this story with the podcast and the lawnmower and the tears.
Okay, this is great. So the other day I was going to mow the lawn because this is like how you get quiet time to yourself. I just learned this though, like not so long ago, that hey, I can be doing a chore so you feel productive and you have some results to show for it, you know, that it's not ruined immediately. It's glorious. But no one's like talking to you because you can't hear them, you know, sorry, it's really loud. Can't hear you guys, you know. And
perfect.
So you know how it goes. Mm-hmm. So you get the lawnmower going and you put on your headphones and you listen to like some podcasts. So I was actually listening to your podcast, this podcast, Thriving in the Trenches. And I was listening to your interview with Teresa Peterson about like her life and faith journey and her music. And I was just really enjoying just the whole thing. It was very enjoyable to listen to. And then it was time to for her to play some of her music. And I believe the song is called He's Lifting Me Higher. Mm-hmm. Put that in the show notes, guys.
Yeah.
And I'm just mowing the lawn and the song starts. And so just imagine like there's me and I'm driving with my paint splattered clogs and I have like these big green headphones over my head, like the big ridiculous kind on, and my sunglasses, and I'm mowing the lawn. And I just started crying.
Aww.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cry again now.
Oh, I know.
And then I started laughing. Aww. Because I was like, I hope no one can see me. Here I am like, blah. Driving this tractor around with these big green headphones. And like, oh, man, it was just a picture to behold. And then I thought, when I am on the show, I better tell them this happened so that, like, it won't be in vain.
That you know, is like, great. That is awesome. But you know what's so amazing is music has that ability, right? It just, like, can, like, pierce your heart, like, you know, just draw out so much, which is why I love what she's doing with her art.
Yeah, it was really nice. And, you know, I was telling my girls the other day this. When I say girls, so I mean my two oldest girls, because we have a big gap. So they're the girls, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the little kids. So I was talking to my girls the other day about how as I grow older, my thoughts and relationships to artists and performers and famous people, whatever, changes. When I was little, I thought of them as like adults and something that a person could be one day and, you know, kind of like mysterious. And then when I was about their age, I thought of them more as like peers. And I would think, whoa, it would be weird for me to have the same life they have. And wouldn't it be strange if I was doing those same things right now? And now as I have kids who are going into becoming adults, I have this relationship with artists and performers like this as if they're also like my children's friends, like as if they're kids and I'm proud of them.
That's awesome.
That's really sweet.
So that's how I kind of felt about her, like, oh, she, like, that's kind of like something my kids might go through, you know, right. Not something I might go through. I already did that. But now it's important to me because it might be something they will go through.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's really sweet.
It was lovely.
She is precious. And I'm so glad that we got to share her with you then.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, she's a beautiful person. Well, good. Thanks for sharing your little thriving in the trenches moment with us.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
That means a lot. Okay, and last question, then we'll wrap it up. But how would you say your Catholic faith most shapes your vocation? Yes, I understand that it drives everything, but I know I should probably really reword that question, but... you know what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, I mean, my vocation, I just wouldn't be even experiencing it, weren't it for my Catholic faith. But I think on a day-to-day basis, you know, it helps me to know that I just have to do what God asks me to do, and then He does all the rest. Mm-hmm. So the results are not my responsibility, just the actions.
I love that.
That's great.
That's beautiful.
And then, of course, I know the question becomes, how do we discern the difference? That's a different podcast.
Oh my Next goodness. Time on Driving Trenches.
There you go.
Then we get really theological and philosophically heavy. Well, you went to University of Dallas. You could totally handle those topics, right?
I love talking, guys.
Well, you do a good job of it.
What that means, then, yes.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Well, we're just so thankful that you shared an hour of your quiet time with us and with our listeners. I know that you bless many of people in your social media presence and your blogging. I know it's just refreshing. Your family is beautiful, and you were a beautiful picture of God's love and His faithfulness. So thank you for sharing your time with us.
I know. Thank you,
Tweeta. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
So, Megan, did you not love Tweeta?
Oh, my gosh. She's so awesome and fun and inspirational.
I know. And so wise. She really is wise. Mm-hmm. She probably might not feel that way about herself, but she is. And she's just has always delighted me when she has shared on Instagram and watching her, what was that? I guess a little over a year ago when she went on bed rest because she, I think it was in preterm labor with Helen. And then when she delivered her prematurely, and you just see that Instagram community come together and we're all praying for this little sweet baby. And now she's running around and it's just, it's a really, really neat opportunity to get to do that together.
That's awesome. I loved her strength. It was just this quiet beauty, and I love how she was able to laugh at herself. She a lot. And, you know, there were so many qualities that I admire in her, in the way she was just living out her life and her strength and her feminine vocation, which to me, she exemplified in so many ways. So it was great. She was so fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about a lot of things with her, and that leads us to what our Bible quote is for this episode. And I think you have that handy.
I think I have it handy. Let's see what we got here. Okay, so one thing that we kept hearing through her story is the perseverance, the being open to the gospel, the being open to God's beauty when she was in Rome, and really letting God, you know, seep into her heart and her soul and grow her into this love for him. And so, but there was also this strand of perseverance and endurance through the many trials they have gone through and continue to go through the peaks and the valleys, but it's just the endurance. And so we are going to talk about Colossians chapter 1, where, you know, Paul is writing a letter to the Colossians, and he is telling them, you know, I've heard that you have come to hear the gospel, believe the gospel and decide to live in the gospel through Epaphras, the fellow servant, faithful minister of Christ sent by the apostles. And so he's telling you, we've been praying for you. And he says, this is starting in chapter 9. I'm going to give you just a few verses and then we'll hone in on one. But he says, and so from the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. In light. Sorry about that. So honing in kind of on that, well, there's really several, the leading life worthy, fully pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God. But may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. So that's that chapter, that verse 11.
That's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. And there's that giving thanks to the Father, Megan.
In all circumstances.
In all
circumstances. Yes.
All of them.
Most especially when it doesn't come naturally to do. Right? Right. So, and that there leads to our call to action for the week. So a lot of what Dwija had spoken about too was this reliance on God versus reliance on self. Mm-hmm. So call to action this week is to see if we can focus on areas or that we can pray for awareness in areas where we tend to be self-reliant and not God-reliant, and that the Holy Spirit will give us a teachable spirit so that we can be reliant on God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of rejecting that spiritual pride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, so moving, let's not talk about that one. All right.
Another podcast.
Okay. And then St. Patrick is going to be our saint quote for today. And I've never heard this one, so I don't think you had either.
I hadn't.
May the strength of God pilot us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. And may the word of God direct us. St. Patrick.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Megan, I think we've finally finished another one.
Exactly. It was fun.
I know. It's good. I'm really enjoying getting to know some more of our listeners and sharing just these beautiful women of God with our listeners. And it's been a real joy.
Agreed.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us this week. We're so grateful for all of you with us in the trenches. You can find show notes on thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming.